Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Mr. Trust, our Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, known as the Trust, out in Israel, Texas. Today is July 24, 2016, hours 8:21, 2020. We will start our second service today with a song and title. This gospel came into my heart. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Yahshua came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart, since Yahshua came into my heart. Let the joy of my soul like the sea billows roll, since Yahshua came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, since Yahshua came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away, since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart. Let the joy of my soul like the sea billows roll, since Yahshua came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure, since Yahshua came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my path may obscure, since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart. Let the joy hold my soul. Let the seed billows roll, since Yahshua came into my heart. And the light in the valley of death now for me, since Yahshua came into my heart. And the gates of the city behind I can see, since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart. Let the joy of my soul like the sea billows roll, since Yahshua came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in the city I know, since Yahshua came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as on the heart go, since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart, since Yahshua came into my heart, let the joy of my soul like the sea billows roll, since Yahshua came into my heart. Everlasting Gospel. Everlasting Kingdom, Part 2. We're going to deal with this word gospel today. Everlasting Gospel, Everlasting Covenant. And we're going to start with Revelation 14. And it says, verse 1, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth." Now this "redeemed" is a past tense adverb, so it means that this is after they had been redeemed that they are taught this new song. They sing this new song. "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth is found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Yahweh. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every kindred, or unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear Elohim and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Okay, if you want to worship him, then you have to learn the plan of salvation, of how to follow the plan. And there followed another angel saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel, and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Right, blessed are the dead which die in the Yahshua from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Okay, so now, this is right before the harvest of the living. "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice unto him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry unto him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in that sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and he gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of the Yahweh, and the winepress was trodden without the city. That's for the Gentiles. That's for the grapes. Your grapes are for the city. I mean, for the Gentiles outside the city. Inside the city, you have the wheat, the first fruits, 144,000. And outside the city, you have the Gentiles. "And blood came out of the wine press, even into the horse traveled by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now the word gospel appears 101 times in 95 verses in the KJV, and it starts at Matthew 4:23, and let's see where it ends. It ends in Revelation 14:6. And so now I'm going to read, I've just read the whole chapter of Revelation 14 to you. And it's talking about the harvest of the starting with the living. Starts with the 144,000, the first truth. And they're the ones that are harvested in the city. And outside the city is where you harvest the grapes that represents the Gentiles. So there's a great, great harvest on the way. Let's turn to the fourth chapter of Matthew. And let's read the whole chapter. It says, Then was Yahshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days, and 40 nights he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of Yahweh, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the son of Elohim, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Yahshua said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Yahweh thy Elohim. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Yahshua unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Yahweh thy Elohim, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And when Yahshua heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is up on the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now, we have a key here where it says Capernaum. We have that Capernaum. And Ellen G. White, with inspiration, pointed out that the Seventh-day Adventist Church also has that identity as antitypical Capernaum. So this is a prophecy then of the Adventist Church, because Capernaum is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. It's on the borders. Alright? Okay, so it says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region set of death, light is sprung up. So they're in Capernaum and in the region of the Zebulon and Naphtalim, great light has sprung up from Capernaum, because where Yahshua went to dwell. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of shadow of death, light has sprung up. So today, Adventists, they sit in the region and the shadow of death, and great light sprung up. Now, when did that great light spring up? 1844. Okay. Adventists were there to be born. They just had to wait for their time to come. And then when their time did come, they were identified as Thou Capernaum. Seventh-day Adventists, which had been exalted unto heaven in point of privilege, shall be brought down to hell. So she had a twofold, prophecy made on her at that time. Exalted unto heaven in point of privilege, but because she didn't take advantage of that great privilege granted her, she's brought down to hell in the side of the pit. That's where the Adventists reside today. As soon as that 144,000 comes out of her bowels, then she will no doubt reside in the side of the pit, where she has been relegated to for her great apostasy. Alright, it says, from that time, verse 17, Yahshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Yahshua, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Okay, and he says unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So today, he took people that were in Capernaum back then, and he called them out. He called them out of Capernaum. He came out of Capernaum, he came to Galilee, and he went hunting for fishermen. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James and the son of Zebedee, and John his brother in a ship, and Zebedee their father made in their nets, and he told them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Yahshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed of the devil, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Well, let's read that Matthew 4:23 again. And Yahshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And I said, and Yahshua went about all the cities and villages. It says this in Matthew 9:35. Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel is another word kind of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's what he was really making known to the people, about the blood of the everlasting covenant. So he says, when Yahshua went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, it says in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And now, this is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. It's got to be preached. And so those of us that have been put in charge of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, we have to put forth the message that Yeshua put forth called the gospel. And that was the new and living way, the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And now, let's go now to our regular reading. We're going to read this, start with the Kingdom tract by Vertus W. Johnson. And 1998 is called the Jubilee tract that he wrote. Year of Jubilee. Now, on the top there he has this Daniel 2:34-35. So now, I want to turn to Daniel 2, and I want to read about that kingdom that Brother Johnson was talking about. Daniel 2. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. It says, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his feet break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. Okay. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Now, I want to point out here that this is a scene of Nebuchadnezzar is an Arab. He is what we call today the descendant of Ishmael, of the Muslim. We never think of it that way. And then spake the Chaldeans unto the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Okay, now I have a point I want to make here about this Syriac. It's a Syrian language, and it's Armenian. Now, as I understand, Armenian is a hybrid version of the Paleo-Hebrew. It's called the Armenian Hebrew. Okay? Now, then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever, tell thy servants the dream, we will show thee the interpretation. So, the thing is, here the king, his counselors and his wise men and all of his seers, magicians and astrologers, they're all Syrians. They're all they speak in the Armenian tongue, the Chaldean dialect, they call it. Now, why do they do this? Because they figured Daniel wouldn't understand what they were saying. They were speaking it in the presence of Daniel. And so, and another thing, that was the only language that they understood. That's the only language they spoke. Now, apparently that was the only language they spoke. So it says in Isaiah 36:11, it said, "Then said Elakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, Speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not unto us in the Jewish language in the ears of the people that are on the wall." But now, we understand the Jewish language too, but we also understand the Syriac language, the Armenian language, and speak to us so those Jews on the wall can't understand what you're saying. And then it says in Isaiah 36:12, "But Rabshakeh said, Hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you?" Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jewish language. Okay? In the Jewish language, and said, "Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria." So the king of Assyria spoke in the Paleo Hebrew, the Jewish language. So they were bilingual. They understood in the Syriac language and the Armenian language, the hybrid Paleo Hebrew language. They also understood in the Paleo. So Daniel, no doubt, was versed in the Armenian language. He'd been in captivity among them. No doubt he understood the Armenian Hebrew language as well, the Syriac language. Thus saith the king, "Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Yahweh, saying, The Yahweh will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, Make an agreement with me by the present, and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the water of his own cistern." In other words, you can serve your Yahweh, your own God, in your own way. I'll give you freedom to do that, but come and acknowledge me and my authority, and I will allow you to do all this. He said, "You can do this until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, The Yahweh will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" All right, now who was this king of Assyria? His name was Sennacherib. Some people call it Sennacherib, I believe. And it's whichever way you're familiar with, but I call it Sennacherib. Here, where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? So all of those Jews that lived in Samaria and in the cities of Judea, here this here king from Assyria has come down and he's already overthrown them. He's on his way to Jerusalem to overthrow the last city in Judea. And that was the main city, the capital of all these other cities of Samaria and Judea. And he's telling, he says, look, he says, where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? He's asking, he says, where are those gods? They didn't deliver the children of Judah out of my hand. So that's who Judah was worshiping. So, no wonder Yahweh sent a cherub, the king of Assyria, down to Judea to overthrow all the cities of Judah. And Hezekiah was the only one, I guess, the king of Judea, living in Jerusalem. He's the only one that was serving the living Elohim. And so now here this here king of Assyria has come up, and he's come down from the north, and he's come down to take a prey of all the children of Judah that dwelt there in the cities of Judah and in Samaria. And it's kind of found out he was able to take those that was worshiping false gods. But Hezekiah was worshiping the true God, the true Yahweh. And so this is where Sennacherib got into trouble. Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Yahweh should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? And they held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household of Shebna, the scribe, and Joel, the son of Asaph, the recorder, unto Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Okay, so Rabshakeh apparently was a messenger for this Sennacherib. Because over there it says in Isaiah 37, verse 21, it says, then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed unto me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Yahweh has spoken concerning him. A virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom hast thou exalted thy voice, and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? You lifting up your eyes even against Yahshua, which is the Son of Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. By thy servants hast thou reproached the Yahweh, and hast said, by the multitude of thy chariots am I come up to the heights of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border, and the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass, that thou shouldest be that to lay waste defense cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the hill, on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me, and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. Now this is a prophecy for those Assyrians today in the Middle East, and that has come into our land here in the United States. Yahweh says, he said, I know of thy rage against me. He's talking to this Muslim world. He's talking to Obama. He's talking to all of those that are plotting to overthrow Yahweh's great country, the United States. He said, I know thy rage against me, and thy tumult has come up into mine ears. Therefore will I put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. And what does it say there over in Isaiah 31:9? It says, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Yahweh, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace is in Jerusalem. So what's he going to do with this enemy that's coming into our land? To take a spawn of prey and to defy and blaspheme the Elohim of heaven and the Holy One of Israel? He's going to put a hook. He's going to put a hook in their nose. He said, and a bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. So how does he do that? He puts a bridle on the horse, and he's riding on his back. The rider on the horse with the bridle in his mouth, he has got complete control and charge of that animal. He's got complete control and charge of it. I know I've ridden many a horse, lots of horses growing up. And I know all about putting a bridle on a horse. You capture a horse, you catch a horse, you put a bridle on him, he's yours. He's under your control. And this shall be a sign unto thee. You shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, in the second year that which springeth up of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. Okay, so it says, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. So now we are having this very thing that's coming to our borders here, and they've come here for one reason, and they're after the remnant of Judah. And it says that the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah, meaning that has come through the judgment of Judah, shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Well, we came through the judgment in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, Judah. We came through that judgment. We escaped there. And we came into the homeland of Judah here in the Liberty Hill, Texas. This is the homeland. We come back to the hill countries of Judea, where Yahweh originally set up the kingdom of Judah in the hill countries of Judea, there at Waco, Texas, was the Leachy Harder back in the 1930s. And so we come back to the region of Judea again, and we're to take root downward and bear fruit upward. So that fruit we're going to bear upward is going to be the 144,000 to start with. Because we're going to take root downward right here where we had brought us to. But out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the seed of the Yahshua host, shall do this. So it's the zeal of Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel, that's going to do this. Therefore thus saith Yahshua concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. So who is this antipical Sennacherib, this king of Assyria today? Who is he? He's none other than yours truly, Obama, the President of the United States of America. Okay, now pay attention to this. Obama came from another country. He was born in another country. Okay? By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Yeshua. For I will defend this city, to save it for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Now this city, Yeshua, has raised it up here in the Antitype, right here in Liberty Hill, Texas. This is where it's to be raised up. Or in this, right here in this general area. Then the angel of the Yahweh went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So all the army of these Assyrians, Syriac, Armenian, Muslim, Arabs, Palestinians, call them anything you want to, seed of Ishmael, seed of Esau, okay, seed of Cain, seed of Ham, just name it whatever you want to, But they all ended up dead. All his army ended up dead, 185,000. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adrammelech and Shalrezer his son smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead. So what's going to happen to this antitypical son of Cherub today, the king of Assyria? He's going to suffer the same fate. Okay. That this typical Sennacherib suffered. Okay, now you can go read there in Isaiah 14, and it gives you another prophecy that will collaborate with this prophecy here. And Ezekiel 28 will collaborate with this prophecy about this king of Assyria. He's a prince of Tarsus. And he's none other but Satan, Lucifer. It's his man incarnate. It's his impersonator, or the one that's incarnate. All right, so much for that. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 2. So what are we learning here? I'm going to read that Daniel 2:4 again. Then spake the Chaldeans unto the king and the Syriac, meaning in the Syrian language, the Armenian language, and the reason why Belshazzar couldn't understand the handwriting on the wall was because it was in Paleo Hebrew, and he only understood the Syriac or the Armenian, the Chaldean dialect, and he couldn't understand that. Daniel understood it. And you know, Daniel, he could speak, I'm sure he was bilingual. Okay, so now it says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 5, it says, the king answered and said unto the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. If you show the dream. Okay, so now, they were speaking in Syriac, in the Syrian language, and I said before that Daniel was there present, but Daniel wasn't present either. But that's the only language they knew, actually they spoke in Syriac. It says in verse 6, but if you show the dream and the interpretation of it, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation of it. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you will gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. For the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, master, nor ruler, that asks such things as any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion, that they would desire mercies of the Elohim of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the Elohim of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of Yahweh forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. That's in verse 21 of Daniel 2. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. So, am I to be concerned about Alan DeLong that has been with the in the kingdom for 33 years, privileged to drink at this wonderful fountain for 33 years, and then he walks away because he has no understanding. He has no understanding at all. He has none whatsoever. So now he says no, but he says, Yahweh's moved on with me and my wife Sharon. Says he's moved on with us. Says we're in charge of the kingdom now. And what caused him to think this way? Because he says, I have a wife now that has inspiration, and she has a new message, and she has inspiration. And so we've got new knowledge. We've got new knowledge. We've got new wisdom. He says, we. But when I asked him, does he have any inspiration? He says, no, I don't have any. My wife has it. So she's the inspiration for them, and so that's their new knowledge and wisdom. So he says right here, he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Well, see, he had already removed Brother Johnson and a typical King Saul. And he set up an typical David there at Turner, Texas, and Alan DeLong was right there beside me helping me to accomplish this thing. And he was right there publishing letters and so forth and deliver them, hand delivering them to Brother W. Johnson. And it was Alan DeLong that delivered the written word that brought Brother Johnson to an end, and typical King Saul. So Alan had a hands-on operation of bringing the king of Assyria, Brother W. Johnson. In essence, that's what he was, king of Assyria. Okay. Sitting upon the throne of David. Okay, well, he represented the Assyrian yoke that's around Yahweh's people. And the prophecy says that whenever the Assyrian yoke is broken, as soon as the people turn from their idolatry, he says that Assyrian yoke is broken off their neck. Well, Brother Johnson, that was the number one thing he was tested on, was his practice of idolatry that he fomented and that he approved of there in the kingdom at Gilead Center. So it all comes right down to that. For the way you acknowledge what idolatry is, that you're practicing it, repent of it, put it away, so that you can take this Assyrian yoke off of your people. Okay. So in that sense, he was antitypical Senate cherub. As well, he played the role of antitypical Sennacherib. He called it Sennacherib. For those of you that are familiar with only that terminology, we'll use that. Said, he revealeth, this in verse 22 of Daniel 2, he revealeth the deep and secret things, He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Now, Yahweh, he revealeth the deep and secret things. Now, it says that, I believe it's in Amos 3:7, he says, surely Yahweh doeth nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. Alright, now let's go look at that. And Yahshua was definitely his number one prophet here on earth. And we know that Yahweh revealed his secrets first and foremost to his son Yahshua. And it says in Amos 3:7, surely the Yahweh Elohim will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. His servants, got an S on servant. His servants the prophets. Well, apparently, he hath at one time revealed his secrets unto Vertus W. Johnson. No doubt he had to, in order for Vertus Johnson to have the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding how to set up the everlasting kingdom of heaven with a creation calendar, because it says right here in Daniel 2:21, that he changes the times and the seasons. So by giving Brother Johnson the correct time for restoring the sanctuary and creation time, and putting Brother Johnson back on creation time with the knowledge of how to do that, then Brother Johnson was able to recognize that scripture there in Daniel 7:25, where it says and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and to think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and time divided of time. So when Brother Johnson was put back on true time, then he was able to teach and show the world, and show first and foremost his people, the house of Israel, on the seventh day Adventist, what constituting the changing of times and laws. And so Brother Johnson, but it says, Yahweh says that, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of Yahweh forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. What does it mean he changes the times and the seasons? Well, there's four seasons in the year. And, Yahweh set those seasons up in the calendar year, four seasons. 90 days to a season. 9 times 4 seasons is 360 days. And 360 days is the total in the ancient time before the flood. There was 360 days to every year. Four seasons. So he changes the times and the seasons. In other words, the first season of the year starts in the spring. And at the first day of the year, you start the first season of the year. And it runs for 90 days. I see. Yeah, season is 90 days. 3 months. 3 months to a season. And then as the time moves on, he changes the time of the season. Today, this side of the flood, you have to change the time. Before the flood, you didn't have to change the time. Just change the season. But anyway, he says he changes the times and the season. Well, it says here in Daniel 7:25, their Catholic Church, actually set up in 321 A.D. by Constantine, when he changed the seventh day Sabbath to the first day of the week. That's when he thought to change times and laws. Whereas he changed the Sabbath to the first day of the week and called that the true Sabbath. So he thought to change times and laws. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and dividing of time. Okay, there's your 3.5 years. Calculated into. There's a 3.5 year period where it's going to begin at this time for 3.5 years here in the last day. Okay. So much for that. Let's go ahead now and continue reading. Here in Daniel 2:28, that there is a Elohim in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar which shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, which should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known unto thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sake that shall make known the interpretation unto the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee. And the form thereof was terrible. And the image, a head was of the fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass. Okay, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of the iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now we're in the antitype of that today, and so we're going to fast forward now to verse 44 and 45 in this same chapter. And in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto another people, but it shall break in peace and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hand, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim of heaven, the great Elohim hath made known unto the king which shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Okay. This brings a close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. A fountain has been opened by Elijah Davis. They tell me of the land that I long to understand. I have not seen, there's nothing to bear. Through the eyes of faith, the temple with his praise. Those who want to know, God has made it known. A fountain has been opened to cleanse the longing soul. Provided a long time ago. Earth's greatest treasures are in our hands to hold, so take hold of the life, giving power in the soul. Down through the sands of time, God has made it known, and it's not better off. He's not left alone. There's safety in the numbers, in the time of need. Angels are the helpers sent to intercede. A fountain has been opened to cleanse the lonely soul. Hope has been provided a long time ago. Greatest treasure. Take hold of the light in your power.